Save me from the lion's mouth. For thou hast heard me from the borders of the eagle. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Verse 30. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. Revelation chapter 5. The fair and bright kind of thing which sat on the throne, a good throne, within and on the back side, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. And no man in heaven, nor in earth, nor in the earth was able to open the book, neither to look thereof. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth in the old earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the lamb, having every one of them half golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, and tongue, and people, and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, and riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and blessing, and glory. And every creature which is in heaven, and on the earth, and under the earth, and such are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing, and honor, and glory, and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb, for ever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down, and worshipped him. Live us forever and ever. Chapter 19. Verse 1. Now after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia. Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. The true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke goes up for ever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshipped God, that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye servants, and he that fear him, though small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, And as the voice of mighty thundering sang, Alleluia, the Lord God, omnipotent, reigneth, let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his voice hath made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And then we are is to glorify him. I cannot expound the verses that one has read. One cannot add anything to the other writings that the Bible. It is the words of the Holy Spirit of God bringing to our hearts something of the glory, the honor that will accrue to that blessed man who is slain here on earth. I desire that something of the glory of this scene, this world to come, of which we speak, this day of the manifestation of the rights of Christ in this world, as he moves forward, as the Lord of all, to secure for himself and for God with earth, one will seek to catch something of the glory and majesty of this soon coming day, that our hearts might be thrilled and might indeed say aloud to him, as then surely we will, and the whole extent of creation will enter the world. He is worthy to receive honor and glory. You know, I've noticed that one has read through what one might speak of. Probably if I use not the right words, three circles of praise. We have and before us more than once these words in Psalm 22. I hesitate to move into the early part of the psalm. It is a cry from the place of impalement, the cross. We read this afternoon that he was heard. Blessed be God. He was heard. God heard him. God took account of that holy, precious life. God took account of that devotion unto death. God took account of that obedience, even unto the death of the cross. Praise be to God. He was heard from that place of impalement. And God has answered when men put him upon the cross. There, nailed with pierced brow, pierced hand, pierced feet, God has taken him, he has heard him, and has placed him at the highest pinnacle of glory. Surely, beloved brethren, as the glory of this fact gives our soul that God has taken that precious man, Jesus, and has placed him far above all principalities and powers. Do not our hearts thrill with the joy that it is given God to place in there, and the joy that is ours has been associated with him. He is worthy, say it again, of every crown that takes his brow. He says, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. And all the brethren in this psalm, as it is in Hebrews, is Israel. And I know the name that he declares to them is the name Jehovah. But I pass over that, beloved brethren, and one thought to go instinctively to John chapter 20. And just for a moment one would glimpse the joy of his heart. As coming out of that tomb, raised by the glory of the Father, and he meets a lover of Jesus, Mary, one that loved him, one that would have held him. And he says these words to her, as the one that had been heard from the place of impalement, as the one out of death, the corner of which had gone into the ground and it had died.
and he was bringing forth much fruit. Oh, think of the joy of his heart at that moment when he says to Mary, "Go tell my brethren." It's been pointed out that only on one occasion, and then it was not in regard to relationship, did he ever refer to his disciples, his followers, his brethren, to think of this moment of joy to his heart. He tells this woman that loved him, "Go tell my brethren." Those that he had died to secure for himself. Those that the Father had given to him. He had died to secure them eternally for himself. Dying to form a link of relationship between himself and them, and then himself and his God and Father. And coming out from the tomb, he says, "Go tell my brethren, I ascend." Oh, he is the ascending man. And he goes higher and higher and higher, the glorious ascending man. And he says to this woman, "Go tell my brethren." Dear brethren, we're associated with a man that is going up, that has gone up, and will one day fill the universe, and he will have with him there who are suitable to him. His brethren, he says to them, "Tell them that I send to my Father." That divine relationship that was ever his between himself and the Father. He says, "I ascend to my Father." Think again of those words that he said when here on earth. "Father, glorify thy Son with the glory that I had with thee before the world was." He was moving back into that sphere of eternal glory that was rightly his. Oh, incarnation, the beloved brethren. Why did he ask to be glorified? It was on account of the fact that he was going back there as a blessed man. And it was a man that was going back into the glory with ones that he would call his brethren, to associate them with himself and with his Father, so that we can say, "Our Father." More the blessedness for the Father's name. Think of the words that we have done. Father's love, the source of all. Sweeter than all it gives. So that the Father's love is given. Immeasurable the gift of the Father's love. But there is something sweeter, gambling. Father, the shining of thy lips shines upon us now without recall. Oh, the joy that is when God is our Father. And having an association with that risen man out of death, able to mount up and enter into the highest privileges, the blessedness of having an eternal relationship with God as our Father. I ascend to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. You know, only once before, I believe I wrote those words, I recorded that he said, "My God." You remember when upon the cross, he cried those words, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And there, substitutionally and sacrificially, he was made sin for us, taking our place as a responsible man before a holy, righteous God. He suffered in our stead, our sins, our guilt, in love divine, confessed and borne by thee. He endured the wrath of a holy, righteous God. But he has ascended into the place of acceptance before God. He stands there as a man, in all the glory of his person, the beloved brethren, as a man before God. And he said, "I ascend to my God and your God." And he associates us with himself in all the glory and dignity of sonship and responsibility before God. Oh, the joy of Christ in having those that he can call his brethren, to lead them into this high standing, this high favor, this divine relationship. My Father, your Father, my God, your God. I only read the end of that psalm, beloved brethren, because as we think of the glory that we have been brought into, the glory that he has secured, there'll ever be found in our hearts, may it be even more so now, the blessedness of the fact, beloved brethren, that he has done this. It is him, none other. It is him that alone bore the cross of shame. He has done this to the eternal glory of God, the honor and majesty of his own precious self, and the eternal blessing of you now. We might say that this is the infinite circle. In the midst of such a circle, beloved brethren, there, this was sweet that we had before us. Here is the circle in the which he sees. Isn't it sweet? He sees. You know, songs in Scripture are the result of an experience with God. And here, as that risen, glorified man out of there, he sings. The triumphant victor, the glorified one of the Father, he sings. But all the beloved brethren, it is in the midst of a company that he has drawn near to himself, that has lived eternally with himself. Those that he calls his brethren, those that he has revealed the name of his Father to, in the midst of such that are gathered to him. He comes in and he sings to his Father, sings to his God, and surely, beloved brethren, cannot we take up this heavenly, holy high theme? Oh, the joy of being in unison, in tune, in symphony with him, joyous singing that he leadeth, oh, the joy of singing with him in the presence of his God. And in his Father. This is ours, can be ours now. All to look forward to that day of eternal bliss, when there we shall be at home with him in the Father's house, to join unhinderedly in what love divine has secured for its own pleasure and for the blessing of those that love divine has set itself upon. So when we move on to Revelation, our hearts are opened out to a scene of majesty, glory, honor, blessing, dominion. Oh, you know the language, I do not think, is competent. But oh, that our hearts might glean something of the glory of this millennial scene as this blessed man comes out as the Holy One, to secure the inheritance for himself and to God, his earth, that gave him a crown and a cross. The book on the right hand of him that sat upon the throne, I believe it is the book of that which God has purposed for himself, for his glory, and for his Son concerning the earth. Who is worthy to move onward, to set the whole thing in motion that shall secure this creation and cause it to respond to God in glory and honor? John weeps. John weeps. You know, beloved brethren, our hearts often weep. We get taken up with things down here because we're in them. We're responsible to God in them. We're in circumstances where we are left to be faithful to Christ and to carry out the will of God. And you know, sometimes we get like John. There doesn't appear to be a solution to the answer. There doesn't seem to be a solution to the problem. Think of the tremendous issues of this question here before. Put it right into open the book. Read the book of Revelation and see what it involves in the opening of this book. The cleansing of the earth by judgment.
John is told, weep not, beloved brethren,
weep not. What is divine?
John beholds, in the midst of a throne, a lamb. We see Jesus.
A lamb, newly slain. We think of the cross, and we see this same Jesus. He has prevailed. He was able. He proved his fitness as a man to take the book, and he moves forward in the power of his devotion that has been proved by his death at Calvary. His willingness to set the whole thing in motion that will secure it for the glory of God. He has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals. There are the preeminent Christ moving forward in all his blessed ability to secure the seal for the praise of God. And you know there's a company there round about him that are caught up with the glory of the fact that he has prevailed. All mates, sink down into our hearts, beloved brethren. We are associated with a man who has prevailed, who has overcome, who is in the glory of God and is confident to carry the whole scene through to the eternal praise and glory of God. There's no need to weep. He has prevailed. And they take up this scene. You notice that it is these 24 elders, this heavenly, redeemed company. I'm not going into the details of who they are. There are those here that know this and expound it better than I. It is a redeemed, heavenly, glorified company that are there in heaven. The rapture is taking place here. And they are caught up with the glory and the majesty of this scene, that their Redeemer has prevailed.
And they sung a new song.
Yes, they have been through an experience. They have a personal experience of the redemptive power of the Lamb. And they start off this scene of glory. They sing a new song. And cannot our hearts echo and chorus these words? Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. They are able to give the reason by what slain, that has redeemed us to God by thy blood. I pass on. I commence this singing. I commence this singing of singing of worthiness. They know it. They have experienced it. They are there on account of his worthiness, because of his redemptive power. And they can sing this new eternal song. But the chorus is taken up, and I believe as you move down this chapter, you move on to the end, so to speak. Because here this echo of this thou art worthy is echoed and taken up by the ends of creation. All the blessedness of the fact that the man that is crucified here is there in the presence of God and will come forth and secure this thing for God. And that will be struck up in heaven. And look to him thou art worthy. And it will echo throughout the depths and length of creation, thou art worthy. What an answer, beloved brethren, for the suffering and the shame of Calvary when they say, we will not have this man. There ain't no way. And it said in verse 11, I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels. Oh, heaven is above with his glory. Heaven knows his word. Heaven knows the glory of his person. And all heaven is of God, through this blessed city, thou art worthy.
The number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands and thousands. Doesn't it delight your heart to know that there would be such a thing sung in heaven to the glory of the blessed man that suffered at the Calvary? Saying with a loud voice, I cannot add to these words. Hear the words of Scripture again. This sevenfold perfect description of glory. Glory is the Lamb that was slain. He received power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Does not captivate your soul, but he is being honored in heaven by a vast, unnumberable combination of our hearts only here. All that we might be found true and faithful to him. And so it goes on. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honour and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and upon the Lamb forever and ever. What a scene. And at that moment, those four living creatures, those executors of divine righteousness and judgment, those scriveners of all that is in accord with the mind and the righteousness of God, as they take account of this whole scene, a God with the glory and worthiness of Christ, they say, Amen. What a moment. They say, Amen. He is worthy, beloved brethren, to receive such honor and glory as he moves forward to secure the saint for God. And how blessed the end of the scene. Those 24 elders, that heavenly relieved company of which you and I form part, they fall down and they worship. Everything, every heart, every voice, every mind in unison with the theme of heaven. Finally, beloved brethren, in chapter 19, we have another circle of glory, honor, and praise of a different thing. I'm not going into it. I say only this. In the previous chapter, in the previous two chapters, we have the historical and the moral judgment of Babylon the great hall. All that is said in this chapter, in verse 2, the great hall which did corrupt the earth. Everything that has sought to detract from the glory and honor of Christ. If you read through the previous two chapters, you will find that that which characterizes Babylon is the taking to herself glory and honor that rightly should be due to him. You know, beloved brethren, it's a subject that we have to search our own hearts. It's worthy of note that when the children of Israel moved into the promised land, we have an incident that is Babylonish in principle recorded. I refer to the sin of Achan. He coveted for himself something that alone was due to God. When we have the opening of a New Testament dispensation in Acts, we have again an incident that was Babylonish in character. I refer to the sin of Ananias, Annas and Sapphira. They took to themselves glory and outward appearance that was not true. But here, beloved brethren, we are open to heaven, and we see that all heaven is in unison with the blessed fact that all such, all that is Babylonish in character, all that is corrupted,
that which is precious to the heart of Christ, that which is so in the midst of that which owns and professes his name, to detract glory from himself and to avail himself in it. And beloved, we have to search our own hearts. All that has come under the judgment of God, and all heaven is agog with glory and honor to God on account of the fact that he has righteously judged
the great hall. Beloved brethren, may it test our hearts. Are our hearts
in unison with heaven over the matter of that which is corrupted, that which should be faithful and true to the name of Christ? There is a path that we have to walk in this world in faithfulness to Christ. There is a path in this world where we are held here as responsible beings to glorify God and him. But there is that which is all around us, which is corrupting it and seeking to detract from the glory of God, seeking to take to itself that which should be to this man who is in the right hand of God. God give us grace to make sure that in our hearts it is all judged. Oh, that we might be in line with heaven over this blessed fact that everything that was obnoxious to the heart of God has been judged in that which professes his name. And you notice immediately afterwards we are ushered into the marriage supper of the Lamb. You know, I suggest to you, beloved brethren, the more we remove from our hearts that which is Babylonish, the more we will enjoy what it is to be suitable to Christ. Only say one thing about this little scene. The marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honour to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Beloved brethren, she was perfectly suitable to him. But a moment, and I sought to bring before you something of the majestic glory of that blessed man that will fill all things to the glory of God. But all the blessedness of this sort, that there is one there, that is right hand, that is perfectly suitable to him. And she is arrayed there in a garment, beloved brethren, which she has worked out here on earth. Every right thing that I do that is in accordance with the mind of God and is in faithfulness to Christ will go into that blessed garment that she is arrayed in. Oh, what an answer to faithfulness to Christ out here. But in that coming day, when he will be admired and displayed and glorified, there will be one at his side that will stand there in perfect suitability to himself, and she will shine out in this blessed fact that she has been faithful to him in some measure in his rejection down here. Beloved brethren, there is an answer to himself for the pathway that he trod, the blessed man that bore the cross. Now wears the crown and will soon be glorified in the scene of his rejection. And those that are his, even now. God give us grace to walk in a pathway bearing his reproach, walking in faithfulness to him in the midst of the world that crucified him, and everything that is rightly done for him in faithfulness will there be displayed in the glory when he is glorified. Blessed be his name. Amen.